ಬೃಹದರಣ್ಯಕ ಉಪನಿಷದ್ ಇಂಟ್ರೊಡಕ್ಷನ್. ದ ಬೃಹದರಣ್ಯಕ ಉಪನಿಷದ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ಲಾಂಗೆಸ್ಟ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಕಲೆಕ್ಷನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಒನ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಓಲ್ಡೆಸ್ಟ್, ಡೇಟಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಅರೌಂಡ್ 700 BCE. ದರ್ ಆರ್ ಸಿಕ್ಸ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ಸ್ ಡಿವೈಡೆಡ್ ಇನ್ ಟು ತ್ರೀ ಸೆಕ್ಷನ್ಸ್: ದ ಹನಿ ಸೆಕ್ಷನ್, ದಿ ಯಜ್ಞವಾಲ್ಕ್ಯ ಸೆಕ್ಷನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದ ಸಪ್ಲಿಮೆಂಟರಿ ಸೆಕ್ಷನ್. ದ ಹನಿ ಸೆಕ್ಷನ್, ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ಸ್ 1 ಟು ದ ಪೆನಲ್ಟಿಮೇಟ್ ಎಪಿಸೋಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 2, ಇಸ್ ಸೋ ನೇಮ್ಡ್ because organic and inorganic nature is interconnected and fruitful in the way that honey comes from all flowers. Chapters 2 to 4 introduce Yajnavalkya, an important sage scholar. He takes a similar role to Socrates in dialogues with various interlocutors. The supplementary section, chapters 5 to 6, is concerned with ethics, including sexual advice regarding conception, empirical reality, and other topics in rather unconnected fragments. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, Chapter 1. There were two progenies of Prajapati, the Devas and the Asuras. The Devas were the younger, the Asuras the elder ones. The Devas, who were struggling in these worlds, said, "Well, let us overcome the Asuras at the sacrifices by means of Udgitha." Footnote: Om in Samveda is called Udgitha. In Rigveda, it is Pranava. End of footnote. They said to speech, Vach, "Do thou sing the Udgitha for us?" "Yes," said speech, and sang the Udgitha. Whatever delight there is in speech, that she obtained for the Devas by singing. But that she pronounced well, that was for herself. The Asuras knew, "Verily, through this singer, speech, they will wipe us out." They therefore rushed at it and pierced it with vice. That vice which consists of speaking what is bad, that is sin. Then the Devas said to breath, "Do thou sing the Udgitha for us?" "Yes," said breath, and sang. Whatever delight there is in smell, that he obtained for the Devas by singing. But that he smelled well, that was for himself. The Asuras knew, "Verily, through this singer, they will wipe us out." Therefore they rushed at the singer and pierced him with vice. That vice which consists of smelling what is bad, that is sin. Then the Devas said to the eye, "Do thou sing for us?" "Yes," said the eye, and sang. Whatever delight there is in seeing, that he obtained for the Devas by singing. But that he saw well, that was for himself. The Asuras knew, "Verily, through this singer, they will wipe us out." They therefore rushed at the singer and pierced him with vice. That vice which consists of seeing what is bad, that is sin. Then they said to the ear, "Do thou sing out for us?" "Yes," said the ear, and sang. Whatever delight there is in the hearing, that he obtained for the Devas by singing. But that he heard well, that was for himself. The Asuras knew, "Verily, through this singer they will wipe us out." They therefore rushed at the singer and pierced him with vice. That vice which consists of hearing what is bad, that is sin. Then they said to the mind, "Do thou sing out for us?" "Yes," said the mind, and sang. Whatever delight there is in the thinking, that he obtained for the Devas by singing. But that he thought well, that was for himself. The Asuras knew, "Verily, through this singer they will wipe us out." They therefore rushed at the singer and pierced him with vice. That vice which consists of thinking what is bad, that is sin. Thus the Asuras overwhelmed these deities with vice. Thus, they pierced them with sin. Footnote. Speech, breath, eyes, ears, and mind are five vital manifestations, indriyas, of the universal supreme self, and are therefore deities. End of footnote. Then they said to the vital breath in the mouth, "Do thou sing the Udgita for us?" "Yes," said the vital breath, and sang. The asuras knew, "Verily through this singer they will overcome us." They therefore rushed at him and pierced him with vice. But as a clod of earth gets scattered when it hits against a stone, so they perished, scattered in all directions. Hence the devas rose, the asuras fell. He who knows this rises by his self, and his enemies' weaknesses fall. Then the devas said, "Where is he who had remained stuck to us?" It was the vital breath within the mouth. He is the essence, rasa, of every part, anga, of the body, and is therefore called angirasa. Next follows the chanting of purificatory hymns. Verily, the priest begins to sing the saman, and when he begins, then let the sacrificer recite these three yajus verses. Lead me from the unreal to the real. Lead me from darkness to light. Lead me from death to immortality. Now when he says, "Lead me from the unreal to the real is verily death, the real immortality. He therefore says, "Lead me from death to immortality, make me immortal." When he says, "Lead me from darkness to light," darkness is verily death, light immortality. He therefore says, "Lead me from death to immortality, make me immortal." When he says, "Lead me from death to immortality," there is nothing obscure there, as it were, to require explanation. In the beginning, all this was Supreme Self alone, like a person alone. He looked around and saw nothing else than Supreme Self. He first said, "This is Aham, I." Therefore, he became Aham by name. Therefore, even now, if a man is asked, he first says, "This is Aham, I," and then pronounces the other name which he may have. And because prior, purva, to all this, he, the Supreme Self, had burnt down Ush, all sins. Footnote. Through austerities and self-sacrifice implicit in the act of creation. End of footnote. Therefore, he is Purusha, person. Being alone, he felt afraid. So even now a man fears loneliness. He thought, "As there's nothing else but I, of what am I afraid?" Then his fear vanished. For why should he have feared? Fear verily arises from a second only. But he felt no delight. Therefore, a man who is lonely feels no delight. He wished for a second. He was large enough to be man and wife together. He then made this his Supreme Self to split in two, pat. And thence arose husband, pati, and wife, patni. Therefore, Yajnavalkya said, "We two are thus, each of us, like half a shell." Therefore, the void which was there is filled by his wife. He embraced her, and human beings were born. She thought, "How can he embrace me after having produced me from himself? I shall hide myself." She then became a cow. The other became a bull and embraced her, and hence cows were born. Then she became a mare, the other a stallion. She a female ass, the other a male ass. He embraced her, and hence one-hoofed animals were born. Then she became a she-goat, the other a he-goat. She became a ewe, the other a ram. He embraced her, and hence goats and sheep were born. And thus he created everything that exists in pairs, down to the ants. He knew, I indeed am this creation, for I created all this. Hence he became the creation, and he who knows this becomes creator in this creation of his. Next he produced Agni, fire. From the mouth as from the fire hole, and from the hands by rubbing, he created fire. And when they say, sacrifice to this or sacrifice to that deity, each deity too is but his own manifestation. He is indeed all deities. Now, whatever there was moist, from that he created seed. This is Soma. So far, verily this universe is nothing but food and that which eats food. Soma is food. Agni, eater. This is the highest creation of Brahman, when he created the best of the deities and when he, who was then mortal, created the immortals. Therefore it was the highest creation, and he who knows this lives in this, his highest creation. All this was then undifferentiated. It got differentiated by form and name so that one could say, he is so and so, and has such and such form. Therefore, at present also, all beings are differentiated by name and form, so that one can say, he is so and so, and has such and such a form. He, Brahman, or the Supreme Self, entered thither into the body, to the very tips of the fingernails, as a razor might be fitted in a razor case, or as fire in a fireplace. He cannot be seen, for in part only, when breathing, he is breath by name. When speaking, speech by name. When seeing, eye by name. When hearing, ear by name. When thinking, mind by name. All these are but the various names of him and his doing. And he who regards him as the one or the other of these various things does not know him, for he is apart from everything that is qualified as this or that. Let men worship him as Supreme Self, for in the Supreme Self all these are one. This Supreme Self is the footstep of everything, for through it one knows everything. And as one can find again by footsteps what was lost, thus he who knows this finds glory and praise. This, which is nearer to us than anything, this Supreme Self, is dearer than a son, dearer than wealth, dearer than everything else. And if you were to say to one who declares anything other than the Supreme Self as dear, that he will lose what is really dear to him, very likely it would be so. Let him worship the Supreme Self alone as dear. He who worships the Supreme Self alone as dear, the object of his love will never perish. They say, if men think that by knowledge of Brahman they will become everything, what then did that Brahman know from whence he became everything? Verily, in the beginning, all this was Brahman. That Brahman knew Supreme Self only, saying, I am Brahman. From it, all this came. Whichever Deva became aware of this, he indeed became all this, Brahman. And so also some rishis, seers, and men. The rishi Vamadeva saw and understood it, singing, I was the moon, I was the sun. It is so also now. He who knows that he is Brahman becomes all this, and even the Devas cannot prevent it. For he himself is their self. If a man worships another deity, thinking the deity is one and he another, he does not know. He is like a beast for the Devas. For verily, as may beasts nourish a man, thus does every man nourish the devas. If only one beast is taken away, it is not pleasant. How much more when many are taken? Therefore, it is not pleasant to the devas that men should know this. Now, if a man departs from this life without having seen his true self, then that self, not being known, does not receive and bless him, as if the Veda had not been read, or as if a good work had not been done. Indeed, if one who does not know that self, should he still perform here on earth some great holy work, it will perish for him in the end. Let a man worship the self only as his true state. If a man worships the self only as his true state, his work does not perish. For out of this very self spring all that he desires. Now verily this embodied self is the world of all beings. Insofar as a man sacrifices and pours out libations, he is the world of the devas. Insofar as he recites the hymns, etc., he is the world of the seers. Insofar as he offers cakes to the manes and tries to obtain offspring, he is the world of the manes. Insofar as he gives shelter and food to men, he is the world of men. Insofar as he finds fodder and water for the animals, he is the world of the animals. Insofar as quadrupeds, birds, and even ants live in his house, he is their world. And as everyone wishes his own world not to be injured, thus all beings wish that he who knows this should not be injured. All this is known and has been well reasoned. In the beginning, this was self alone, one only. He desired, let there be a wife for me, that I may have offspring, and let there be wealth for me, that I may offer sacrifices. Verily, this is the whole desire. And even if someone wishes for more, he would not find it. So also now does a lonely person desire, let there be a wife for me, that I may have offspring, and let there be wealth for me, that I may offer sacrifices. And so long as he does not obtain either of these things, he thinks he is incomplete. But his completeness is as follows. Mind is his self. Speech, the wife. Breath, the child. The eye, all worldly wealth, for he finds it with the eye. The ear, his divine wealth, for he hears it with the ear. The body is his work, for with the body he works. This is the fivefold sacrifice. For fivefold is the animal, fivefold man, fivefold all that exists. He who knows this attains all the universe as his own self. When the father, Prajapati, had produced by knowledge and austerity the seven kinds of food, one of these foods he made as common to all beings, two he assigned to the devas, three he made for himself, one he gave to the animals. On this rests everything, whatever that breeds and breeds not. Why then do these exhaust not, although they are constantly eaten? He who knows this imperishable one, he preeminently eats food with his mouth. He attains the devas. He lives on essences of things and acquires strength. When it is said that the father produced by knowledge and austerity the seven kinds of food, it is clear that it was he who did so. When it is said that one of his foods was common, then that is that common food which is eaten by all. He who worships, eats, that common food, is not removed from sin. For verily, that food is mixed, property. When it is said that two he assigned to the devas, that is one which is sacrificed in fire, and the other which is given away at sacrifice. But they also say the new moon and full moon sacrifices are here intended as the two foods, and therefore one should not perform them for fulfillment of any material wish. When it is said that one he gave to animals, that is milk. For in the beginning, in their infancy, both men and animals live on milk. And therefore, they either make a newborn child lick butter, or they make it take the breast. And they call a newborn creature a trinada, that is, one not eating herbs. When it is said that on this rests everything, whatever that breeds and breeds not, we see that all this, whatever that breeds and breeds not, rests and depends on food. And when it is said elsewhere that a man who sacrifices with milk a whole year overcomes further death, let him not think so. No, he overcomes further death on the very day on which he sacrifices, for he offers to the deities all the food. When it is said, why do these not exhaust, though they are constantly eaten? The answer is, verily, the producer of food is person, the imperishable, and he produces food again and again. When it is said, he who knows this imperishable one, then that verily means that the person is the imperishable one, for he produces this food as his work by continuous meditation, and whatever he does not work for, that perishes. When it is said that he preeminently eats food with his mouth, then this means that he, being the self of the foods, becomes one with the food. When it is said he attains the devas, he lives on essences of things and acquires strength, that is meant as praise. When it is said that he made three for himself, that means that he made mind, speech, and breath for himself. As people say, my mind was elsewhere, I did not see. My mind was elsewhere, I did not hear. It is clear that a man sees with his mind and hears with his mind. Desire, resolve, doubt, faith, skepticism, memory, forgetfulness, shame, reflection, fear, all this is mind. Even if a man is touched from behind, he knows it through the mind. Whatever sound there is, that is speech. Speech indeed is intended to determine a thing, but it cannot itself be revealed. The up-breathing, the down-breathing, the back-breathing, the out-breathing, the on-breathing, all that is breathing is breath, prana only. Verily, that supreme self consists of it. That supreme self consists of speech, mind, and breath. These are the three worlds. Speech is this world, earth. Mind is the other world, sky. Breath, the world beyond. These are the three Vedas. The Rig Veda is speech. The Yajur Veda, mind. The Sama Veda, breath. These are the Devas, Manis, and men. The Devas are speech, the Manis mind, men breath. These are father, mother, and child. The father is mind, the mother speech, the child breath. These are what is known, what is to be known, and what is beyond knowing. Whatever is known has the form of speech, for speech is known. Speech, having become this, protects man. What is to be known has the form of mind, for mind is what is to be known. Mind, having become this, protects man. What is beyond knowing has the form of breath, for breath is unknown. Breath, having become this, protects man. Of this speech, which is the food of Prajapati, earth is the body, Its shining form is fire. And so far as speech extends, so far extends the earth, so far extends fire. Of this mind, sky is the body. Its shining form is the sun. And so far as this mind extends, so far extends sky, so far extends the sun. Fire and sun embraced each other, and from that, breath, air, was born. And this is Indra, and he is without a rival. Footnote: speech, fire, and mind, sun, although they are different from breath, the vital force, here called Indra, the supreme, are not its rivals, but subordinates. End of footnote. Next, of this breath, water is the body. Its shining form is the moon. And so far as this breath extends, so far extends water, so far extends the moon. They are all alike, and all are endless. He who out of ignorance worships them as finite, obtains a finite world. But he who worships them as infinite, obtains an infinite world. Verily, this universe is a triad: name, form, and work. As regards names, speech, sound, is their ukta, source. From it, all names arise. It is their saman, for it is common to all names. It is their brahman, for it sustains all names. Next, as regards forms, I is their ukta, source. From it, all forms arise. It is their saman, for it is common to all forms. It is their brahman, for it sustains all forms. Next, as regards works, body is their ukta, source. For from it, all works arise. It is their saman, for it is common to all works. It is their brahman, for it sustains all works. These three together are one, this Supreme Self. And the Supreme Self, though one, is the triad. This is the immortal covered by the real. Verily, breath is the immortal. Name and form are the real. And by them, the immortal is covered.